For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
This episode of the Patriots Report is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with live in-game betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become a part of the team. And remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. This week on the Patriots Report, my co-host Chris Hogan and I look back at the Super Bowl, what really happens behind the scenes of a post-Super Bowl party. Spoiler alert, it's a lot more fun when you win. And look at the Brady Mahomes debate. Plus, we start to dive into the pre-draft process and discuss what sort of workouts are helpful to prospects and what's just BS. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, let's start here. Give me your thoughts about the Super Bowl. The Chiefs upend the Niners in overtime. This felt like a game in my experience. And look, I know that Mahomes is great. Kelsey's great. You need to make the plays, need to execute when the game's on the line, the season's on the line. But this felt like a game that the 49ers lost just as much as the Chiefs won.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it was a great game all around. I think that the defenses particularly played well the first half. They had that 2018 feel where, you know, both offenses who were high powered, had a lot of talent, just really couldn't get anything going because the defenses were just making so many plays and were playing so well. And I mean, you know, game got going on and, you know, Mahomes threw the pick and, you know, 49ers were able to kind of put some things together. And it, at the end of the game, it just seemed the Chiefs seemed so comfortable in all of those situations and the 49ers did not, right? It just seemed like, you know, they were calling defensive plays that they didn't call throughout the entire game. They were going blitz zero and they weren't going blitz zero. They were playing more man coverage, you know, letting guys kind of run across the field. And those were the key plays at the end of the game. I mean, the Kelsey pass in the red zone that he picked up 20, the play to Rice that he picked up. And, you know, I think that was fourth down. I think that they called that on it, you know. So those plays were not happening throughout the game because they weren't in those coverages. And, you know, I was surprised that that's kind of what they went to. I know that Wilkes probably wanted to just try to get the ball out, but Patrick Mahomes, you know, on the other side of the field, you know, like, come on, man. I mean, this wasn't just some rookie who was going to be surprised by blitz zero in a gotta have it situation. So it was a good game, man. I didn't sleep a wink after because it brought back too much feelings, bro. I mean, I was the emotions throughout that game over time. You know, obviously I was really wanted Christian to get one. You know, that kid left it all out there, man. I mean,
he had a great game. He did. He had a great game.
And but listen, I mean, that's what you want to see, you know, in those types of in those games, the Super Bowl's game to go into overtime. I was a little bit surprised reading this morning that some of the 49ers didn't know the rules.
Yeah.
Like in playoff. I was like, come on, man. I mean, first of all, don't say that. And then second of all, then the Chiefs are coming out and be like, yeah, we had the meeting in training camp and then we refreshed it in, you know, this week and went over a strategy session. Like, you know, so again, you know, it just, the Chiefs were so comfortable being in all of those situations and the gotta have situations. And I think you really saw why Patrick Mahomes is who Patrick Mahomes is. I mean, he did not falter. He did not shy back and he didn't flinch, man, and he made all the plays that he had to put, that he had to make, and his guys came up big when they had to come up big, and that's why they're waking up this morning Super Bowl champions.
What do you think of the comparison between Mahomes and Brady and the Chiefs and the Patriots? I think that I always start from the point that they're halfway there at this point to you guys, because the Patriots, and look, I'm not breaking any news here, but it was two very distinct dynasties, two eras, two championship eras for that franchise. And now you look at the Chiefs and they've won 3 in 5 years, not unlike what the first team did, the first Patriots team, 01 to 04, 3 in 4 years. The thing that might set them apart moving forward, if they cannot match them or match you guys and what you guys did with the three, the second half, is winning 3 in a row. No one's ever done that. That would be absolutely extraordinary. And that would give them, I think, start to give them some true separation from what you guys did.
Yeah, I was talking about it last night with somebody, and they were like, oh, this is not going to last. And honestly, as long as you have that kid behind the center, like throwing the ball, he's going to win football games. I mean, he went out there with arguably only him and Travis Kelce on offense. I mean, listen, I'm not taking anything away from Pacheco and some of the guys that he had, the surrounding cast. He had guys that were able to come up clutch in big situations and make the plays, but he did not have the talent surrounding him that he had in the previous years that they've been winning football games. He had a good defense this year, right? And I think, honestly, you go back and you look at some of the New England offenses, right, where everyone was like, he didn't really have the guys, but yeah, Tom. And Tom made everyone better. And he made the team better, and everyone surrounding him just leveled up. And I think that's what we're seeing in Kansas City, right? Patrick is doing all of these great things now ever since he's been in the league. And I think he's leveling up the level of play on the teams that are going out there every single year. And I think that you can't, more so than any other year than he's been in the league, was this year. It was him and Travis Kelce, and then other guys had to step up and they had to level up. And then in these clutch situations and in these bigger games, they stepped up and they made the plays. And I think that really, it boils down to two things. I mean, you have a very good head coach, and you have a very good quarterback. And I don't see that changing any in the near future. So, listen, it's tough to win in this league, and it's tough to come back every single year and continue to do what he's doing. But he's been doing it. And I think, obviously, remaining healthy and on the field and his team remaining healthy and available and kind of doing all the things. There's so much that goes into winning football games and getting to that point in the season. A lot of things obviously have to go right year in and year out, but he's becoming that guy that I would not want to play against ever.
you played with Tom. Obviously, you didn't play with Patrick Mahomes, so one side of the story. But as someone from the outside, I'm fascinated to see what you would think as a player. Where do you stand right now on the debate? Is it Brady, Mahomes? Is it an unfinished picture? Where do you stand right now if you had to choose between one of the two?
I'm Team Brady. From now until they bury me in the earth. But they're two different quarterbacks, right? But what I do see the similarities in both of them is their leadership on the field. You can just tell that he sees everything now. There is nothing. It doesn't seem like anything is surprising him on the field, right? And that's what was something that always kind of, I always admired about Tom. It was just nothing. You couldn't throw anything at him that he had never seen before, and he wasn't going to be surprised just because he prepared, right? And he was able to get, he always knew where he was going to go with the ball. He always knew how to be in all these situations. And I think that's really what we're seeing in Patrick, is he's becoming that guy, right? He knows what's coming, and he knows where he's going with the football before the football is even snapped. And so, listen, we're always going to compare great athletes. You know, everyone's going to compare Jordan LeBron to forever for the rest of time, right? And people are going to stand on one side and stand on the other. And at the end of the day, it's like, listen, these are both tremendous football players that won a lot of football games. And Patrick has got a long career ahead of him. And sure, he might go out and break some of Tom's records. Like, good for him, man. Records are made to be broken. And if he goes out and does that, like, he's earned that. And he's earned that respect throughout the league. And he's capable of making a lot of football plays, and he can make all the throws. And I think, you know, the expectation for him is to keep doing what he's doing and to kind of put himself up there with the great quarterbacks. I mean, he's already up there, you know, with just with his statistics alone in the postseason and the games that he's won. And obviously now he's been to the Super Bowl, you know, three times, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to put him in that conversation, right? And listen, we're all going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about it for the next 20 years. But I played with Brady. You know, I saw how great he was. I saw how well he was able to level up every single person around him. I do see that in Patrick, and I do see him commanding that offense and that entire team, right? And I think, you know, if you just talk about it from a leadership perspective, those are the guys that are going to be, get that nice plaque on the wall, you know, in Ohio, in Canton, Ohio. And you can bet your ass that both of them will definitely be up there, and we can talk about it too. We're all blue in the face of who was better, but they are different quarterbacks in different eras. And they made their teams better, and they won championships, you know, and, you know, they play differently. They're two different athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom didn't run. Patrick's a little bit more mobile. He can throw the ball 90 yards in the air, but like, Tom didn't have to do that, man. He was smart. He outsmarted people. He outprepared people. You know, Patrick's able to do that too. And he's capable of doing that a little bit more with some of his athleticism. So they're both different guys, but I mean, hats off to the Chiefs, man, for kind of pulling this off. And I think a lot of people counting them out a little bit here with the team that they had and some of the games that they put out there this year. But push come to shove, when they had to make the plays, they made the plays. And in the overtime when they needed it, they made it happen. So
Tom Brady always had the answers to the test. That's the thing that I always think about when I saw him play. And you're starting to see that more and more. On a day-to-day, week-to-week, game-to-game, series-to-series basis with a guy like Mahomes. I love the phrase leveling up, and I always told people that Brady's genius was in being able to get everyone to collectively buy in as a whole to what they were doing. And I think you really saw that with Mahomes this year. You always knew there were the physical traits. You always knew he was able to – you know, he was able to elude the rush. He was able to, you know, he had a great arm, but you saw other aspects of his game really come to the fore this year. And he became a really well-rounded quarterback. I have no doubt, like you said, that he's going to be going into Canton, but to see the evolution of his game, especially this year, where they were very powerful. I said at one point this year, there were very powerful 2006 Tom Brady vibes coming off him, where that was the year where Brady basically lifted the offense all the way to the AFC Championship game. They ended up losing to Peyton Manning, but there was a sense of he had become a different quarterback, at least at that stage of his career. And I think we saw that same sort of progression this year with Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, and he's maturing at just as a teammate. I mean, people were coming after their receivers this year, man. I mean, the amount of drop. I mean, I think they led the league in drops this year.
Mm-hmm.
You did not hear him one time complain about his receiver dropping the ball. He put the ownership on himself. He put the ownership on his teammates, you know, just to, we need to get better. We need to practice more. That's Tom, right? He took the blame for everything. And if it was a team thing, we just need to get better. Right. Mm-hmm. We need to go out. We need to practice harder. We need to do this more.
We need to do this. Not me, not them. We.
It's not this guy. You know, he needs to go out and get on the jug machine more. He needs to do this. Like, he needs to get his hand. Like, that was never the case. And I saw that this year. I don't think he's ever been a guy. He's never been a guy that's called out people. But I'm just saying there was a lot of opportunities for him to do that this year with the way that they were playing early on in the season. And there were a lot of games where that affected some of their losses, right? And never called them out, and he just kind of remained true to himself and true to the team. And you got to respect that, man. I mean, and he just put the ownership on the entire team and himself most importantly. And that's why they were in this game, man. That's why, they're waking up back to back Super Bowl champions. I mean, that is hard as hell to do. And it's impressive. It really is.
We saw some video of Jason Kelce at the Super Bowl party, and I'm always been curious about the post Super Bowl parties. They're always scheduled, right? Win or lose. And I imagine when you lose, they're a lot less fun. Walk me through what a Super Bowl party, a post Super Bowl party is like for the New England Patriots from 2016 to 2018.
Well, I mean, listen, you got Mr. Kraft, who is not shy of spending his money and having a party. So you can imagine what all of these things were. I mean, all the bells and whistles, all the performers, all the big names, these giant facilities with just whatever you need, whatever you want. I mean, after we won in 2016, I mean, that game, what I think for a lot of us, I mean, walking into that party, it was just kind of like, what the hell just happened? Like, what did we just do? I think it took a minute for all of us to start enjoying the party because we had to come down from where what we just had achieved. But that though, I mean, listen, you get to go, whoever's at the game, you get to go spend some time with them, you get to see your family. But everyone is just, you could just see the stress and the weight. Bill's having fun, Bill's drinking, he's smiling, right? Which you don't see very often. He's sharing drinks with all of his team, with all of his players, the coaches. You get to enjoy it together in an environment where no one is worried about tomorrow or the next game. And that's such a rare thing in this league, and it doesn't happen. So many guys get this opportunity to get to this game, and you get to win it. And this is something that you're going to remember for the rest of your lives, right? And so those moments and these parties are just like, I mean, they're spectacular, man. I mean, I don't even, to be honest, I don't even remember who performed. I mean, but like, I think it was like Bruno Mars one year. There's Beyonce. Oh no, I actually do remember Beyonce. Beyonce, we lost. So I remember it's like, oh, Beyonce's playing. I'm like, who cares? Like, get me out of here, right? But just everyone, man. Your family's excited. They're, the teammates, there's fans there. So you're just there. I mean, you obviously can be kind of in one area where it's like your VIP team area, but like you can walk. I mean, there's people that pay to be there and the fans are there and everyone's just excited. No one's really bothering you, man. It's just like you just get to have fun. You get to live that whole night is just, it goes on pretty much early into the morning or as long as you want it to last or however crappy you want to feel on the plane ride home. But they're a lot of fun, man. I mean, I remember being in upstairs in a room, got to meet Snoop Dogg when, I mean, he was always around, all these other guys, like they'd been around these guys. I'm like, starstruck when I sometimes when I meet these people, I'm like, dude, like, guess who I met last night? This, that, and the other. It's like, and like, Jules and Danny are like dapping up Snoop, like they're like been boys forever. And I'm like, yeah, this is nuts. But, Minnesota, I mean, to put it bluntly, sucked. But, again, it's like, I think there's an element of there are still people there, and there are still fans, and you still have your family there. And I think if you're able to separate the two of them pretty quickly from losing a football game, a biggest game of, some of these, of your life and the last one of the season, but also trying to compartmentalize that, you also have your family members there that have supported you all year round or your entire career that have come, you know, from all corners of wherever and dealt with all the Super Bowl traffic and all the craziness, and they're just to support you. So I remember being in Minnesota and enjoying the time with my family. You know, I do remember that. I do remember feeling pretty crappy, you know, for most of the night, but you know, I also like, you know, you get to kind of experience it at least with the people that love you the most.
Yeah. And I also imagine too, there's a sense of this team is never going to be together again. These group of individuals, because you know, things are going to turn over. And so I don't want to say you want to say goodbye to some of these guys, but this is going to be the last experience that you have with some of these teammates as teammates.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like you kind of almost, it's like the, you know, end of the year party, right? Where you just, everyone's going their separate ways, or it's like your senior year of high school where everyone's going off to college and you don't really know what's going to happen next year. So you just, you enjoy every second of it, you know? And, you know, to be honest with you, I think you almost don't even realize that, you know, the performers and all the stars that are there. I mean, you almost kind of shrug that off to the side because you're almost more, Captain America was there, you know,
Chris Evans, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Chris Evans was there. I got to meet him and all these other people. And it's like, dude, move out of the way, man. Like I'm trying to like party with my boys that we just like accomplished something that no one really gets a chance to accomplish in this league. And never in my life did I ever think that I was going to be a part of something like this. So I think that's probably more of really what it is. You just get to enjoy, and you don't do it throughout the year. We're not having parties throughout the year where we're like enjoying every single one of our victories, where we're just, because again, like, listen, you're like, all right, cool, moving on. Like, you have Monday off, or Mondays we're back in there, Tuesday day off, like, you know, and we're just moving on. You know, this one is, there is no tomorrow, right? We don't have to prepare for another game. So we get to actually just unwind and relax and, you know, get to spend time with teammates that probably you don't get to spend time in that sort of environment where you're not talking about football or you're at, you know, some charity event or doing something. You know, it's more of celebrating the team and yourselves and what you're able to accomplish. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
People should know too, by the way, that this is not like baseball where you guys are in the locker room popping bottles after winning the division, you know, clinching a playoff spot, after winning the AFC championship. This is the one big blowout opportunity that you guys have.
Yeah. I mean, listen, even after in the locker room, after we win the game, I mean, there's so much that goes on after a Super Bowl, you know, the media, the trophies in the hand, you know, like people are pretty much like, there might be like two guys in the locker room at a time just because everyone's either on the field or this, you know, here and there. So this is like the first opportunity that we get going to this party to all be together and to finally kind of celebrate this humongous accomplishment that we all have. And I mean, mind you, you know, if that following year, you know, Mr. Kraft obviously puts on a pretty amazing ring ceremony as well, so he does not shy away from breaking the bank on that one either, which are those parties are also like, you know, you walk, I mean, they're just incredible, man. I mean, yeah. he goes above and beyond for that team and that organization just to give his players this experience that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. You know, it's never something where you walk into and you'd be like, oh, this is okay. You walk into this thing, you're just like, holy right? It's like I never in my life could imagine something, someone's backyard could transform into this, you know, amazing looking structure with, you know, all of the, you know, it's incredible, man. And you know, I credit Mr. Kraft because he cares so much about that organization that he just tries to do so much for his guys to make those experiences something that I can talk about, you know, 8, 10, you know, for the rest of forever. Right. And I'll probably still be just as excited talking about it if we're 10 years from now, you know, because that's what type of party it is.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Then after the party, you go to the plane, and then you go home, and in a win, you get on the duck boats. And the duck boats, we were actually on a media duck boat 1 year, because I think this was after 2014, and it's a surreal experience.
Yeah,
because we were told if you want to talk to some of the players, you have to ride the duck boat to the end of the parade, and so it was just the whole process is just it's a whirlwind for like 3 or 4 days, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
But it's an absolute blast. Look, I want to switch gears here really quickly if I could.
Yeah.
Want to start talking about the pre-draft process. 2 weeks, we're recording this on Monday, February 12th. 2 weeks from today, I am going to be in Indianapolis at the Combine. And that really jumpstarts. That's the first major event. We talked about the Senior Bowl. We talked about the Shrine Bowl, all that stuff. But the Combine is the real deal when it comes to evaluating players. You were not invited to the Combine. You played the 1 year at Monmouth. You weren't invited to the Combine. You went to Fordham's Pro Day instead. I don't want to say instead, but were you a little pissed that you didn't get a Combine invite?
No. I started training for the NFL just because I had a couple of friends that were doing it, right? And I wanted to give it a shot. I wanted to see if there was even an opportunity for me to even try and go down this road and start this journey of maybe even sniffing the NFL. And so even, you know, the Combine was never even in my future. I wrote that off a while ago. But I did think that for a guy like me, there are chances to get to these pro days and to compete and to get in front of different scouts. So that was where, you know, I was kind of hoping for my opportunity. And we were fortunate enough to get into Fordham's Pro Day. And there were a ton of scouts there because there were a few guys that were on the team that were being scouted, right? And they had 30 or 31 teams there, which was awesome. You know, my school was, you know, they have a pro day now because we've been able to churn out a couple of good football players. But when I played, we didn't have a pro day, right? Because we didn't have guys going to the league. It was me, and, you know, the one before that was Miles Austin. So, you know, we didn't really have the opportunity to do that at our own school. So we had to find different ways of, you know, getting into these other schools to try to run a 40 in front of guys. So we were lucky, you know, and that was an opportunity that I definitely did not let slip away, for sure.
Did you ever get a weird question from a scout? I know everyone talks, and this is more related to the Combine, where teams will pull you in for the 15-minute interview and kind of, you know, run you through the car wash, basically. Did you ever get a weird question, an off-putting question, a strange out-of-left-field question about you, your game, from a scout who's trying to kind of, you know, figure out a way to get to know you a little bit better?
Yeah, it was, what's your name? Who are you? Where did you play football? I mean, no one knew who I was, man. I went to this combine. I blew it. We started off with bench press. So I did probably the most bench presses still to this day that any receiver has done. I mean, maybe DK probably was in there. I did it 28 times. So kind of popped it off, and people had a couple people turn their heads. Really, you know, I was 220 pounds at that time. Like, everyone thought I was either a tight end or something that, you know, different. I obviously was going to compete as a safety too. I did both of them. Ran a fast 40. You know, I think at hand time, that was like sub 4.5. You know, my three cone and my shuttle over, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't remember, but I do, those were two of my best drills just because my lateral movement, you know, I was very good at it. And then I believe we did the 50 yard, you know, the longer shuttle at the end too. And, you know, again, I did very well. I was the only kid that was not a part of Fordham that was asked to do more after the pro day. So it was me and I think a running back, and then they had a tight end. and no quarterback, obviously. So I had a scout team, or it was a coach, I think, throwing footballs to me. And, first one was like sailed over my head, and I didn't think anything of it, man. They asked me to run a couple routes. I did, a couple of different drills as a safety, flip turn, did all that kind of stuff. And then afterwards, then they asked me to take the test, right? So then I took the test, and it was, again, like I
The
didn't
Wonderlic, you mean?
the Wonderlic, yeah.
Yeah.
And
How'd you do?
I didn't even get my results, right? Like I didn't like I it's like I had no idea like what was going, like I was just kind of taking everything like literally minute by minute, because I didn't have any expectations going into this thing. I was just trying to run my best times that I've been training for the last 5 months. And then afterwards I had scouts come up to me, and they were asking, like literally, who are you? Like where? And so I, kind of told a couple of them my story and where I came from. And you're like, all right, cool. Like, maybe we'll be in touch. It's like, all right. Like, so, and then after that, I think, I did well enough there. Obviously my agent kind of took over from that, and had some private workouts and leading up to the draft, and did all these different things for a couple different teams. And so listen, there, for the guys out there that don't go to the combine, there is a path to getting to where you want to. It's but you have to, as much as I think we're probably going to get into this, is where you're leading, is as much as these drills don't translate to being a good football player, they do open doors and they
Okay.
do start conversations,
Okay.
right? There are plenty of guys out there that are damn good football players that don't run 4.4s and don't run 4.3s, and maybe they're not the strongest underneath 225 pounds, but you put pads in and put a football in their hands or go chase someone, and they are freaking football players, right? And I think you really can only, you as scouts, as coaches, as general managers, I think that's probably the toughest part of trying to, I think the most due diligence you have to do is watch their film, right? And I think for the combine, it's really, I think it's more about just getting these guys in the room and kind of figuring out what type of person they are. And if they're going to fit into that locker room, every single guy that's at the combine, they all have the talent obviously to be there, or they wouldn't have been invited to it. So I think, and more for the challenge for these teams is really to get a better understanding of who these guys are, what are their goals, what do you want to accomplish in this league, why are you here, do you love football, do you want to be a football player, or is this just like something that you were just good at and you just kind of do, right? Those are important questions. This is going to be a serious investment that you're going to make into some of these guys, and I think you want to know the answers to those questions, right? And I think the combine is more for the interviews and being around the players, and seeing how they're able to kind of deal with, taking coaching, and guys that they've never been around, they're going to tell them how to do a drill in 10 seconds and then expect them to do it the right way. I think they try to make it a little bit tough on them, but I think that's all part of the process, right? I think you have to be able to go into it, be coachable, be able to learn on the fly, learn quickly, and that only translates into, being a better football player and someone that you can mold, and someone that's going to be able to help your team win games.
All right, last question for me before we wrap up. I'm curious about this, and I've asked former players this question before, and I want to get your take on this. If you could go back 15 years and you could play for anyone at all in this era, if you could play for the Chiefs, the Patriots, and play with any quarterback you could play with, who would you pick and why?
Yeah, I mean, it'd have to be Mahomes. I sitting here trying to, think of that answer, and I can quickly go through every single team of the quarterbacks, and there are a lot of good quarterbacks. But I watch this guy week in and week out, man, and he continues to get better every single year. He's a leader on the field. He's able to make the plays. I mean, the game just seems to be slowing down for him so much. It doesn't seem like much is phasing him now. You see a lot of these guys, I mean, they're getting sacked, they're getting hit. I mean, he took some hits in that first half, and he was getting sacked and they weren't doing anything. But and the obviously the camera's right on him every single time. I mean, he didn't seem fazed, right? I mean, we didn't see on the sideline. I'm sure he was, doing his thing and getting in guys' faces or telling them, we gotta be better. But just his ability to make plays is it's fun to watch.
To put the ball exactly where a receiver needs it to be in every single instance.
And that's as a receiver that played with a guy that was able to do that for a very long time. That's someone that I would, I'd want to play for. I think that if I was on that team, I would certainly level up for that guy.
That is the ultimate compliment from you. That is very much the ultimate after, having talking to you for a few months now. That's the ultimate
Listen, I hated playing the Chiefs. There's no, don't get me wrong. And I
compliment.
hated playing against them, but I also hated to play against Tom Brady when I was in Buffalo, right? So I respect the kid and I respect his game and I respect how his talent and how good of a quarterback he is. There's no doubt about that. And if I had the opportunity to play with him, that would be an amazing opportunity, man. I mean, he's gonna be one of the best. And he's shown it year in and year out that he's continuing to grow and continuing to get better. And again, he makes it seemingly how for Tom, what Tom did for guys, he makes it easy to catch football, because he's able to put it in the right spots.
Chris Hogan, thank you very much for your time, my friend. Take care, and we will talk again next week.
Sounds good, Chris. Thanks.
Hey, everyone, thanks for listening. One more reminder, this episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with live in-game betting contests and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime, from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become a part of the team, and remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.